One of the things that just warms my heart is seeing kids playing outside. Just seeing them outside with each other in their neighborhoods, just running around. You know, I can remember my previous parish when I went into the subdivisions to run, and I was in these big, huge subdivisions, and it's like somebody, like aliens, sucked out the kids, you know? There was nobody out in the neighborhoods. And you know, when I go over a friend's house and they have this neighborhood where the kids are all playing together, a little cul-de-sac, they're just having fun. It just reminded me of my own, you know, youth where, you know, we played in the summer baseball every single day. You know, we played it every day. It wasn't without fail, rain or shine, we were out there. And then not only that, we had these evening games, right? We had these evening games, we played kick the can. What happened to that, you know? See anybody playing kick the can or freeze tag and swinging statues. But one game that has stood the test of time, it has. One game that I even see on our playground here at our school is follow the leader. Follow the leader, you know, you see the teacher going, you know, and it's awesome, you know, and seeing, you know, them following each other, you know, and that in the gospel reading, Jesus saying, follow me. You know, what he's talking about in our first reading, in our gospel reading, what they're trying to connect is one of the means in which we're called to follow Jesus, and indeed we're called to be in communion with him, to follow him, is to go out and evangelize, to go out and bring Christ to the world. You know, that's what he's telling us, and a time to do that. And he's showing that urgency, especially in these readings. It is the time is to do it right now. Right now, you know, and we see that in Elisha and Elijah. Elijah's handing over the prophet's work to Elisha, and he says, you know, and he says, well, let me say goodbye to my mom and dad. No. And so he said, okay, I get you. So I'm going back, and you know, so what he's doing is he's slaughtering his cattle. He's taking the, you know, all the implements to, and they're burning, you know, using as kindling, and they're, you know, taking all those. Taking the food and giving it to the poor. That's what they're doing. And so he's ending his old self and starting anew, doing the work of our Lord and Savior. He's doing that. And we see that in the gospel reading. In the gospel reading, it says, Jesus says, no. You know, it seems kind of heartless when he says, well, let me bury my dad at least, you know? Let me do that. And he says, but what we know is a lot of times in scripture readings, there's an exaggeration. There's an exaggeration to prove a point. There's an urgency to this. We find, especially in that particular instance where he's, you know, it seems kind of heartless that he won't allow him to bury his dad. Is that fact is his dad's not, scripture scholars will say, he's not really dead. You know, he's not really dead. He's just waiting. So, you know, when he dies, you know, I want to just wait until my dad dies and then, you know, then I'll do it, you know. And so his dad's not really probably even ailing, you know. He's just making an excuse, you know. When the time is right for me, you know, when everything's perfect. And you know, it's never perfect for us to do the Lord's work. Indeed, the time is always now. The time is always now to bring Christ to the world. And so, you know, in the last few months, I've been really praying about this and thinking of what is the direction that God is calling this pastoral region, our church, you know, Saint Cecilia as well, to be. What are we called to do? What is it that I'm called to raise up? And what I believe we're called to raise up in our parishes, and I think it's just not our parishes, but all parishes, you know, to bring more people in the pews. That's what we're called to do, to bring more people to Christ, because that's what happens in this church. You come to Christ, you know, and I don't do this to make more money, so we have more money, or, you know, at the end of the year, I have to give a sheet, and it tells you what our, you know, what the amount of people that are going to your church. I don't do that for my own self and my own good, but that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're called to bring people to Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? How do we do that work? Well, first of all, I think it's important for us in our church, in the Catholic Church, that we need to tackle our dirty laundry. We got dirty laundry, we do. We have the sex abuse crisis that's in our church, that's riddled our church. In many ways, for those that are Catholic, they're kind of squeamish. They don't even want to say they're Catholic. And they don't even want to, in many ways, they're embarrassed to go to church, to reflect even the faith, you know, to people they know, their friends, their family, you know. And that's a bad place to be in. Indeed, the sex abuse crisis, that scandal, is beyond, it's sickening. It's sickening how priests have taken advantage of children, have taken advantage of the vulnerable, especially young men in the priesthood. And it's sickening. It's sickening and it shouldn't be tolerated. And so it has led people not to want to come to church. And we got to change that. And so we need, in many ways, to tackle that dirty laundry. And so we're going to. In August and September, we're going to look, you know, we're going to take the book, Suffering Church by Father Robert Barron, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to have an open discussion. We're going to talk about anomalies. We're going to have an opportunity to gather, you know, in small groups and talk about this issue in our church to move where we are to where we need to be. You know, many people, it is a very struggle. Some have felt like they can move on. It's terrible, but they can move on. And others, not so much. You know, and it's really hurt our church. So we got to take care of our dirty laundry. But we also, and most importantly, I think it's really important that we understand our very difficult truths in our church. You know, it's important for us to recognize what they are and to talk about them, and maybe in small groups, but as well talk about them in the pulpit. You know, indeed, there is in our culture some things that are normalized that shouldn't be. You know, and in which our church stands a little differently, not just a little, a lot differently. And so we need to know those, we need to recognize them, but not only recognize them and know how to react to them and to feel about them and see the beautiful truths of our church being that are raised up. And so it's important for us to realize, but also I think it's important that we give you skills to bring people to Christ. We're going to need to give you, how can you bring that estranged family member or friend, your own son or daughter, or your niece or nephew, or, you know, people that you know very close, you know your grandchildren, you know, how they've been alienated from the church. How can we bring them back? You know, what are some of the skills that we need to enter into a conversation, to give them some seeds to maybe think about coming back to the church? We know they don't feel whole. We know that. We know they don't feel whole. So how can we help them out of our love for them to feel whole in Jesus Christ? But I think the most important means in which we're called to evangelize is just be a good example. You know, we need to be what we eat, you know. We have to be Christ out in the world. And if we reflect something different, then it's not that, attractive. You know, we look like hypocrites. So we have to be good witnesses of Christ himself. And so, and that's why I get to a segue here, because I have Sister Jacinta just dying to get up here. And Sister Jacinta is from the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary. And she is a witness of Jesus Christ, you know, in many ways through bringing material help, but also spiritual help to those that are so desperately needing that and craving it in their lives. And so at this time, I invite Sister Jacinta to come forward. She's from the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary. We're happy to have her. She's from Tanzania. She come all the way over for us. So come on over.
Father said that I'm dying to come up here. It is not true. I'm always shy to talk in public. As Father already said, my name is Sister Jacinta Kimaro. I come from Tanzania, from the Diocese of Moshi, on the slope of Mount Kilimanjaro. And I'm sure some of you have climbed that mountain. And if you did, then you saw my home. On behalf of the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary, a community in which I belong, and on my own behalf, I would like to thank Bishop Dennis, the Bishop of Cincinnati Diocese, Archdiocese, I think, and Father Jim Weber, and all the parishioners of St. Cecilia for making it possible for the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary to come all the way from Tanzania to share with you our ministry. Before I go ahead to what brought me here, I would like to answer one question that a lot of people asking me, why did you decide to be a nun, to be a sister? And the simple answer is, when I was in the fourth grade, my bishop came from the diocese to my parish to ordain a young man, a young deacon, to become a priest. So I decided to go for that mass for curiosity's sake, to see how people become priests. During the homily of the bishop, he happened to say, telling our parents, you parents who are here listening to me, allow your children, boys and girls who have missionary vocation, to evangelize this continent of Africa. He said there are people in this continent of Africa who have never heard of the name Jesus. Save Africa with Africa. I remember very well. And he said, you know the values of the Africans, you know the customs, you know the traditions. Don't be selfish. Your diocese has got a good number of priests, good number of nuns, good number of Christians. It is about time to be generous and evangelize this continent. Then I say, well, at my young age, I say, well, Bishop is exaggerating. Are there people today who have never heard of the name Jesus? Where are they? I want to go when I finish my high school. So that was a kind of a call the Lord gave me that very moment. And then during the mass, the choir sang a song that, of course, it was a song of ordination. Go, 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 and proclaim the word of God. Go, I will take care of you. Go, I will protect you. Go, I will be there for you. The song was sung in Swahili. For those who have been to Tanzania, please join me to give you a taste of that song. This song is very particular for me, very important, because it gives me strength when I am in trouble or when I am in difficulties or stressed. People say that I sing like a crocodile, so I have a phobia of singing. It goes, Meme ne kone kuoko Usiogope kwa sababu ya hao Toka vilindini ninakulilia e Bwana Sikiliza sauti yangu Sikiliza sauti ya dua zangu. Mimi niko nikuokoe. Usiogope kwa sababu yao. Mimi niko nikuokoe, usiogope kwa sababu ya hao. I am there to save you, do not be afraid of them. That day I went home and I told my parents, especially my dad, you know, Dad, when I am done with my high school, I will be gone. My father asked me, where are you going? I said, I am going to be a nun. Where? Well, according to my research, I think I will be going to Uganda. There was no research. My father said, no, if you want to be a nun, you can be a nun here in Tanzania, but don't go to Uganda. Uganda is in constant war. If you go and they shoot you, I am not going to claim for your dead body. I said, Daddy, don't worry. My dead body would be brought home by the government of Tanzania. so don't worry. I was so rude. Well, I went there, actually I stayed there for 2 years without any communication with my dad, and that was war, there was a lot of problems, but I survived. After those 2 years, I reconciled with my dad. My dad has passed, eternal rest given to him. My dear brothers and sisters, today the community of the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary, it was founded in 1975, and we are over 300 sisters working in different countries in Africa and elsewhere. We are in Tanzania and across the Indian Ocean in Zanzibar, whereby in Zanzibar is part of Tanzania, believe me or not, 99% of the people there are our brother Muslims, and we are there for them. Then we are in Kenya, in Uganda, in Sudan, in South Africa, in Cuba, South America, in Rome, in Germany, and in England. But today I'm talking about Africa particularly. The Evangelizing Sisters of Mary are called to plant the church. And if the church is developed, is not developed, they are there to develop, and once it is developed, we leave the place and go somewhere else, whether it is under the tree, whether it is on the mountain, or wherever the people are, we go there and make a dwelling and work with people. Father say, call the people to the Lord. Go there. You don't start saying, the Lord loves you, A, B, C, D. You just go there and talk ordinary things in extraordinary way. And people come to know the Lord loves them through that way. We work with different people, including single parents, slum dwellers, refugees, children drop out from school. But today we are here for children whose parents have died of HIV/AIDS. These children, some of them are okay, some were born with HIV. Therefore, we have them in different centers. Some centers we have like 20, other centers 40, other centers 50. It's overwhelming. And these children need, they are young, they need milk, they need clean water, they need food, they need clothes, they need mosquito nets, they need education, they need health care, they need everything human being needs. And when we shared this to Bishop Dennis, he told us, come over here and go to St. Cecilia. The people there are missionary. Share with them what you are experiencing. And that is why I am here on behalf of the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary. My dear brothers and sisters, we do many kinds of ministry, but what really brought me here today is because of these children. The bishop said, go, the people are going to support you with their prayers and with their financial support. Because you can't come to address a congregation like you without the permission of the bishop. And bishop said, I can't help you, go to St. Cecilia. And that's why I'm here today. Before I finish, I would like to share with you my personal, one personal experience that touched me so much. As Father said, and I am saying, I am from Tanzania, but I also worked in Kenya, in Nairobi. One day, I decided to go and renew my passport in Nairobi. But it was too early in the morning, I decided to go for Mass at the cathedral there in Nairobi. After the Mass, it was like 7 or 7:30. It was too early. I said, oh, let me wait a little bit until I find the offices are opened. As I came out, I found a young boy who could be 5 years old or 6 years old. The boy was sitting at the gate of the cathedral. He was literally shaking, shaking. I looked at the boy, I thought, could be this boy is sick with malaria, or it is too cold for him, or he's very hungry. I didn't talk to the boy. I decided to go to a nearby store. Guess what I got for him? I bought him one loaf of bread. Just one. It's opening up. And then I bought him one big bottle of Coca-Cola. I gave to the boy, and the boy he took them and he didn't say thank you. As a matter of fact, I was surprised. Then I said, Jacinta, you have given. Go ahead with your business. As I made 2-3 steps, I heard someone calling behind me. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, madam. I turned behind, I found it was that boy. Excuse me, madam. I said, little one, what do you need? Excuse me, madam, are you the wife of God? My dear brothers and sisters, how can one loaf of bread and a bottle of Coca-Cola connect someone with his creator? We don't care whether that boy was a pagan or was a Muslim or was a Christian, but what we know, the boy was a human being. But right there, he found God. He knew that someone sent me. He didn't say, thank you, sister. Mm-mm. He wanted to thank the person who sent me. I said to him, I am not the wife of God, but he has sent me to you. That is the time he said, thank you, and he left. So this particular experience is my experience, and it's also your experience. I'm sure you have done a lot of good things to people, simple things, ordinary things, but in extraordinary, it touches the life of God, life of a person. Father is saying, bring people to church. He is not going to say, God loves you, there is Holy Trinity. No. The smile you give to someone, the attendance you give to someone, the looking you give to someone, that is how we bring people to God. When the Father was talking, I said, Jesse, what are you doing? I feel like I am not doing enough. But I confess my sins here before you. The sins that I commit every day is like staying indifference. Indifference. You meet someone, you have the ability to help, you don't help. You see someone, or I see someone, I should give a smile, I don't give a smile. So these are kind of sins I commit. I don't steal. I don't do A, B, C, D. But being indifferent or to speak for someone who has less power, That is what I personally confess every month. And this is kind of evangelization, what Father is saying here, bring people, not pulling them, but just show concern, and that is enough. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm not going to talk anymore, but I'm saying thank you very much for having me. I know the second collection is going for the Evangelizing Sisters of Mary. Come with me to Tanzania with your prayers and with your support to evangelize. You're most welcome to Tanzania.